Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Understanding that the money, after it was transferred out of Hope Florida Foundation's account, was immediately turned over to a political committee controlled by Mr. Uthmeyer, do you believe that that is a proper purpose and use of those funds?
I had no awareness of that, and all I could go off of were the assertions made in the proposal, and that was that there would be no use for political activities.
Okay. Understanding that it was used for political activities, do you believe it was a proper use of those funds?
I'm not sure if it was or was not used for political purposes. What I can say is that at the board meeting, we'll be looking at monitoring procedures and how we can enhance those to enforce compliance and also to potentially claw back funds that are not used.
Okay, the money was definitely used for political purposes. This is the $10 million that got sliced off of the Centene settlement with ACA, Agency for Healthcare Administration at the state, and sent over to the Hope Florida Foundation. That's the fundraising arm of Hope Florida, separate entity, you know, right? That's got a 5-member board that should be a 7, that haven't filed their appropriate tax forms, that hasn't given the disclosures of possible conflicts of interest, that doesn't employ anybody, that only handles a total grand total in their entire history of $12 million in its entire history. $10 million of which was the pass-through that went to the political action campaign. And Alex Andrade is asking in the meeting that was on Tuesday, at the same time as the governor decided to, I don't know, weird coincidence, schedule a burn-the-house-down publicity event here in Pensacola while Michelle and Alex were both in committee back in Tallahassee, and to which they denied entrance to city council members, a couple of county commissioners, the county administrator, big advocates for the governor in the past got turned away because they weren't viewed as loyal to the governor. I mean, because, you know, both the city and the county had written letters to the governor complaining about the UWF Board of Trustees. Like, putting all these pieces together, there's a lot. It's a lot. Anyway, back to the specifics of the hearing that Alex Andrade is the chair of the budget subcommittee on healthcare, the biggest chunk of money in the entire state budget. Now, $50 billion for the entire budget that they're dealing with-ish, you know, $10 million one way or the other is not that big. The problem is that this $10 million is becoming a huge scandal for the governor and people around the governor. And so, you know, here you've got him asking John Hay, who is the chairman of the board, and to his credit showed up, and to his credit did his best to answer, and to his credit seems like a good guy, who is in way over his head and doesn't really shouldn't be the chairman of this board. But okay, more on that in a moment. So he says, we're going to have a meeting. It's today. The board is supposed to have a meeting today. It's open to the public. And that meeting is going to talk about fixing all of these problems. And he says, well, I'm trying to enhance. What was his word? I'm going to enhance. Was that the exact word? We're going to improve the monitoring procedures. Well, you can only improve a thing that exists. Establish. Accountability would be maybe the better term because
all I can go off of is based on the facts, and the fact of the matter is that we had no monitoring procedures for the foundation.
Dude, number one rule of money giving is you got to have a purpose for the money, a plan for the money, and then accountability and checking procedures to make sure that the monitoring, that the, you know, feedback that the money is being used properly. They're passing through millions of dollars. Well, 10 particularly, and they have no monitoring? Okay. Oh, also, the $10 million was kept a secret? Deborah Tendrich, a Democrat on the committee.
This proposal was not made public, so other organizations were not aware or available to apply for these funds in particular. And if so, how was it determined that these two organizations would be the sole recipients of those $10 million?
You know what sole source bidding is? That's when, you know, you are going to spend some money and only one firm applies and you just give it to them, like no competitive bidding. Okay, $10 million falls out of heaven into Hope Florida Foundation and suddenly two entities, sole source, request each $5 million and you're just like, okay, cool. Like, It wasn't announced. It wasn't open for competition. Other entities didn't realize the money was there to be able to apply for it.
There was no request for proposals. Both proposals were received via email, unsolicited. And so upon my receipt of those, I would then share with council and take advice on how to move forward with them, because it was the first of its nature, first time of us receiving those unsolicited proposals.
Jeff Aaron, that's going to be a key name in this. Jeff Aaron is the council he's talking about, and Jeff Aaron says good, so it's good. He doesn't blink at disbursing the $10 million to the only two entities that knew it existed, because it was all kept quiet, that it was even there. You know, normally when you get a $10 million contribution, you celebrate it. You have a press conference. Look at what we got. And then everybody knows, oh, there's money to be had. Let's apply. And then when you do disperse the money, you have another press conference to celebrate that we dispersed this money. Nothing. Just $10 million in the dead of the night passes right on through. It's just unbelievable. Oh, by the way, the applications, the grant applications, identical or nearly so. I'll get back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We are still rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. I'm not seeing anything that's going to hinder your way in this morning. Good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, if you missed the 5 o'clock hour on the podcast page, you can go back and get, there's too much of this story to tell in just even one or two segments. This is a three-segment story, and I can't go back and repeat everything. So just to get to this point, all right, this is part two. I wish I had Days of our Tallahassee music for you, because this is unbelievable. Deborah Tendrich says,
I actually have the grant proposals.
I don't need to. It's a long clip, but she's going to go through and explain to you. These paragraphs are identical. These phrases are identical. Like, it looks like whoever wrote the second grant basically copied their work off of the first grant. So the first $5 million comes in, the board votes on it. Cool-ish. The second grant comes in with almost identical verbiage, and the board doesn't vote on it, but the chairman of the board says, oh, yeah, that's cool. The lawyer says it's fine. And this is starting to look a lot like, well, we've got lots of lawyers. No, they don't have lots of lawyers. They have one. Okay? This Jeff Aaron guy.
Was there any coordinated effort in actually preparing these grant proposals?
Not to my knowledge.
Representative Tendrich, I can confirm for you that Mr. Aaron sent Secure Florida's Futures grant application to Save Our Society and told them to use it as a template.
Okay.
So Group A comes in with a grant application. It works. The attorney for the foundation then sends Group B the grant application so that they can write one that's almost identical to get another $5 million out of the foundation he's the lawyer for.
In the grant proposals, there are no requirements for reporting on how those funds, and they actually both specifically say that each entity has sole discretion as to how those funds are used, but there's no reporting requirements.
They can use the money however they want, and they don't have to report how they're using it. What?
Why was it specifically put into these grants that those organizations, those 501c4s that you submitted, you released funds to, why would you not want them to disclose your donation? It specifically says in both grants that they wouldn't disclose that contribution. Typically, donations at that size, you know, especially with Hope Florida doing such great work, you would think that we would want a press release, you know, make it public and share this great contribution. Why was it intentionally, you know, made private?
That's a good point. I saw a lot of big checks with $15,000 grant numbers on them. So why wasn't this one publicized, Mr. Hay?
I can't say why it was not publicized. I relied on the advice of counsel.
I would just ask if instead of saying advice of counsel, say advice of Jeff Aaron, if you could, just so we're all clear about exactly who's telling you what to do and how.
It's a good note, because Jeff Aaron is going to feature in this drama, this scandal, prominently. And making sure that we know it's not just vaguely, generically some lawyer. It's specifically this guy. That's Alex Andrade again, asking the chairman of the board, who, again, to his credit, you know, is there trying to tell the truth, okay?
How much funds have you brought into Hope Florida? What was the total amount of contributions received?
I don't know the precise numbers. I do know, aside from the $10 million in totality, it's approximately north of $2 million that the foundation has taken in from contribution donation.
So your company is used to managing somewhere in the vicinity of $2 million. We'll even say a year, but it's not per year. It's over the last couple of years. Let's say $2 million. And then somebody comes in and buys $10 million worth of stuff, and nobody knows what it's for. There's no reporting on it. Your business manager tells you to keep it secret. Don't tell anybody. And you do. Would that be the normal course of events? It would not be. So the entity itself, I had mistakenly thought that the Hope Florida Foundation was processing tens of millions of dollars routinely, maybe even to the half of a billion. Like, I didn't know what kind of scope of money, but I figured they must be. My assumption in the beginning was, well, $10 million, you don't know where that came from. Even if it went to a political action campaign in the end, how would you be able to prove that it was that $10 million? You know, you don't compare serial numbers on the bills. There's no bills. It's just electronic funds transfers. Well, when your entity only has a total of $12 million ever, and 10 of that is this pass-through, it absolutely went to that because there's not enough money to provide for those funds unless it comes from that. So that's a smoking gun moment. It gets worse. Hillary Cassell, a Republican, by the way, if that matters to you.
These conversations, obviously, I know you've been having conversations with general counsel. Have you consulted with an accounting firm? And if so, who is that?
We have engaged an accounting firm, and that accounting firm is Carroll & Company.
And when were they engaged?
Approximately 2 weeks ago.
So prior to 2 weeks ago, the organization did not have any type of accountant on
your 62. Going into your Friday, plenty of sunshine, high near 79. Friday weather app, this is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 53 in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, and a little bit cooler, 48 being reported in Milton. Your next news is at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. Treasury yields have risen as investors weighed the state of the economy after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell raised concerns about the inflationary and economic growth risks of the White House tariffs. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield rose around 4 basis points to 4.319%. Eli Lilly said its daily obesity pill met the company's goals in its first of several closely watched late-stage trials. The pill helped type 2 diabetes patients lower their blood sugar and body weight and showed safety on par with popular injections on the market. The trial data brings Eli Lilly one step closer to bringing the pill to market. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company has denied reports that the semiconductor giant was in active discussions with Intel regarding a chip-making joint venture. Intel previously said it doesn't comment on rumors when asked by CNBC about the reported discussions. Futures are mixed. Dow futures down by more than 500 points. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Now we will hear from Dr. Joel Rudman.
So again, it's quite an honor to be here in front of you. And for where I find myself now for the citizens of Northwest Florida, just as education was my lifeline, Pensacola State College is their lifeline. It's part of their game plan to achieve that job or pursue their career that they've wanted all their lives. Right here in Pensacola, we're essentially a military veteran community. And our citizens definitely understand the value of education.
All right, this is former State Representative Joel Rudman and nominee to be on the Board of Trustees for Pensacola State College. And he had been at the press conference slash meltdown slash political event, you know, distraction, whatever you want to call it, that morning at PSC with Governor DeSantis. And so he was actually doing this on remote video of PSC. And he's talking to the first of two committees that all of the nominees to be on a board of trustees for any university in the state system go to. And so Gail Harrell has introduced him, and here he is talking about the importance of PSC. So far, so good. No big deal. And then it begins. Senate, remember, we already had Andy Hobbs approved from the sheriff's office unanimously. We had Ed Fleming, local attorney, approved unanimously. We had, Zach something or other, I forget his last name, who seems to be fantastic fit for the PSC to be on their board. PSC's board had not been a controversy, right? Until now, with Joel Rudman.
Dr. Rudman, I had the opportunity to listen to your interview over Spaces over the weekend, and I want to read you some of the quotes from it. You said, I need to keep this close to the vest because I do have a confirmation hearing in front of the Senate this Tuesday. Some of these cards I have to keep on me. We need to drug test our legislators. Read between the lines. I won't name any names. I know where the bodies are buried. But if they come after me in this confirmation hearing on Tuesday, maybe we can do another Spaces and I can give you names. Let's see how they behave on Tuesday. Who precisely are you threatening in those comments?
You're recognized.
Thank you, my colleague, my former colleague, Senator Leak. Senator, as you know, there's a lot of contention right now in the Florida House. It brings me no pleasure to shed light on what I knew in terms of what's going on in the Florida House. So those comments in a verbal space, as you call it, we're not directed towards the Florida Senate.
What? So he apparently did an interview. I haven't watched the interview, so I'm just going based on what the Senate is bringing to us, in which he says, look, we need to drug test our people because we'll see how it goes in my Senate hearing, my confirmation hearing. But if they come after me, I know where the bodies are buried. I know who to go at. I can name names. And so Tom Leak, who's a former rep and is now a senator, says, bro, who are you threatening exactly? And he's like, well, the stuff and the people and the things and the, you know, doesn't give me any pleasure. Okay, so Tom Leak comes back. By the way, anyway, here we go.
I appreciate that, and I will readily agree that we agreed on policy, I think 99% of the time. But as I read your quotes here, you're not talking about the House unless the House is conducting your confirmation hearing. You say, quote, because I do have a confirmation hearing in front of the Senate this Tuesday. Later you say, if they come after me in this confirmation hearing on Tuesday, maybe we can do another spaces and I can give you some names. Let's see how they behave. Doesn't that tie it directly to the members of this panel?
Actually, Senator, and I'm sorry, thank you for the question. Actually, it refers to the conduct of the Florida House.
So it sounds like he's threatening the Senate, but he says he's actually threatening the House or somebody in the House of Representatives, which makes it all fine. More on this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I don't know how to follow this up, man. exactly, boy. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. If you're traveling on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay as you approach the Windhaven Beach area. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, as a note, the allegation has been made that the governor is not doing his proper job in overseeing who gets put on these boards, that maybe other people are doing it sort of on his behalf without much of his superintending. That, and think even the Speaker of the House, Danny Perez, is the one who said that it's being treated as a spoils system where you're rewarding loyalists and insiders. And interestingly, you have Joel Rudman, who has been a loyalist to DeSantis, who, again, just for clarity's sake, I love Governor DeSantis. Recently, he's making me wonder, but I love him. I admire him. I think he's done great. So he was used as a total errand boy attack dog in the distraction press conference that morning at PSC. And now he's being heard as a member of the board. Now, he had been put up before. Okay, so it's not like it was same day where he's getting paid with a trusteeship for his attack dog antics. I'm not saying that. I'm not even sure that you can make a quid pro quo connection. I'm just mentioning that both of these things happen to be true. He did the governor's bidding at the press conference vehemently, and now he's being asked about his comments in this Senate confirmation hearing for the Board of Trustees for the Pensacola State College, which, again, previous candidates had been very, very uncontroversial.
I'm currently standing in the district of a member who has used the word criminal when addressing our governor. He's used the term illegal when addressing the actions of our government. So that representative may or may not choose to come after me. And what he would tell members of this committee or what untruths he may spread about me, I had to be ready to defend.
He's talking about Alex Andrade. I don't know why he's not saying Alex Andrade, but he's clearly he's standing in his district. Okay, that's what he's talking about, Alex Andrade. And it sounds to me, if we're being asked to read between, it sounds like he's alleging that Alex Andrade uses drugs and that he has the receipts and he can prove it. And if Alex comes to attack him in this committee hearing and his nomination, that he can respond. And that's why he had to play his cards close to the vest. That's what I hear being said. That sounds really a lot like defamation to me. I'm not a lawyer. I didn't even sleep at the right hotel last night. That's what it sounds like to me. Unless it's true. Of course, if things are true, truth is an ultimate defense. So Tom Leak, back to the Senate hearing, is very concerned about this.
Do you suggest in any way that you have evidence, knowledge, or information of any member of this panel using illicit drugs over the last 2 years that you were in the legislature?
And let it be known for the record that there is no such knowledge of any current member or past member of the Florida Senate. Again, my comments are directed to people that I know personally, firsthand knowledge in the Florida House. Thank you.
I have firsthand knowledge of people in the Florida House who use drugs, apparently, is his allegation. It's not the Senate.
See that by Do you see that by making the comments that you have made, that you have painted us into a corner? Where now, if I vote for you, perhaps I'm giving in because I'm afraid of the threats. And if I don't vote against you, then I must be, I must be okay. So you've kind of painted this committee, in my opinion, into a corner where if we don't challenge you on this, then it could look to the public as if we're giving in to your threats. And do you see how that's a problem?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, thanks to my honorable friend, Senator Link. Again, I think the truth shall set you free. In my role as a private citizen now, I am enjoying my newfound freedom. I have the right to freedom of speech just as anyone else. And so when...
Well, I just one thought is at this point, you might say you can continue to enjoy that newfound freedom as not a member of the Board of Trustees on the Pensacola State College. Okay, so Rudman's name gets pulled off of the list of, again, confirmations. These things are usually very pro forma. It's just you just do it. So they go through all of them and batch vote on them. It's like the consent agenda. Yes, okay, fine. And they said, no, we need to hear his one separately, which is what they had done with UWF ones as well, right? So they need to do this one separately. So it gets pulled out individually. Carlos Guillermo Smith, who is a Democrat and who did vote against all the UWF ones. And, you know, okay, I mean, I disagree with Carlos Guillermo Smith about almost everything. But here he had his say.
The appointees are being given out like loyalty trophies. The appointments are. They're loyalty trophies for political allies whose views are often outside of the mainstream at best, bigoted at worst, whose temperaments are questionable, as was demonstrated by Mr. Rudman earlier in the committee. And I find myself asking, what does that say about how the executive branch values higher education, that we're not prioritizing experience, insights into higher education?
Oh, and by the way, I did a quick check just to make sure I said it wrong. Danny Perez did not say that about the trustees' nominees. He said that about the presidents that had been installed under DeSantis. That's what he was talking about in that context. Similar, not the same. So Tom Leak, then, and Guillermo Smith says he will not vote for him. Tom Leak, who's a Republican, and he says he reads those comments again that he read before about the close to the vest, playing the cards, if they come after me, all of this stuff. There's been a time gap in here because they hear the testimony, then they do a lot of stuff, and then eventually they come back and vote at the end. I'm just skipping all that intermediary time. And he says,
I find the explanation of those comments trying to disconnect the senators in this confirmation hearing from the threats at disingenuous at best. There's no way you can read those comments and with a straight face tell people that they weren't intended to intimidate and influence the senators on this panel. And that is something I cannot abide. So if the threat is, we don't do what you want, you're going to come after us, consider this behavior. Consider this it. Whatever it means that if they come after me, let's see how they behave. Consider this that, right? Consider this that challenge being met here today. And so for those reasons, I'm going to vote no on my good conservative friend, Joel Rudman, because those comments I cannot abide.
I know he was a little circuitous there, but what he's saying is, if they come after me, I'm meeting the challenge. I'm coming after you. I'm saying no to your appointment. You can behave how you want.
Just briefly.
This is Danny Burgess, also another Republican.
Just briefly add on to Chair Leak. I hate that we've been kind of put into this position and boxed in, but I do think that those comments do paint us in a corner quite a bit here, and that they were, it's hard to not receive them as being targeted towards this specific committee hearing. And for those reasons, at this point in time, I do think that, and of course, this is the first of a couple appointment stops, but I don't believe that I'm in a position to be able to vote to confirm going forward. And it does pain me to do that because I know Doc as well, enjoyed a good relationship with him. But I think those comments really do paint us in a certain corner where we're left with only this result.
And by the way, look, I'll say this, the times I have interacted with Joel Rudman personally, I get along with him great too. He said a lot of things in the press conference the other day that I thought were really misguided, inappropriate, exaggerated, verging on outright lies. And that concerned me. I know his reputation among other legislators is extremely low in terms of local. Okay. He seems to get along with nobody and is always fighting with everybody. It doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong, but, you know, you got to be right if you're going to fight with everybody. So then they had the vote. Okay, but you know, I get along with him. He'll take my calls, text with me, whatever. I've, you know, never had a cross word with him personally. Anyway, so they have the vote.
Seeing no further debate, please call the roll on Dr. Joel Rudman.
Senator Burgess?
No.
Senator Kalatiud?
No.
Senator Davis?
No.
Senator Leak?
No.
Senator Smith?
No.
Senator Trumbull? Vice Chair Bradley?
No.
Chair Harrell?
No. By your vote, we will do a negative recommendation on Dr. Joel Rudman as it moves forward to the Ethics and Elections Committee.
That's a unanimous no. Even, like, the UWF most controversial got Danny Burgess. I mean, Scott Yenner never got a vote, but Kissel got a vote. I mean, just, wow. So, yes, there's a second committee. Yes, there's a vote in front of the Senate. And, yes, there's these weird rules about whether the governor can still put you up there even if you don't get confirmed. But at this point, the Senate has said not just no, but hell no to Joel Rudman. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No new accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good. Just a minor delay on 98 eastbound, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. Let's say 5 to 7 minute delay through just congestion through that construction zone. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you are a owner of a business, you have employees, you got to manage employee benefits, you got to figure out health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources, payroll, all that stuff. Torgerson Causey, they can help you with this. They're good at this. They like doing it. They're kind of, and I say this with love, nerds about this stuff. And I mean that as praise because they're good at answering questions. They bring us good plans every year, better plans, better options than we ever had before we started using them about 4 years ago here at News Radio in Cat Country. I'm a big fan. They have been fantastic for more than 2 decades. They've been helping local business owners like you do good by your employees, and they can help you. Free, no obligation review of your stuff. Maybe they can help you. Maybe they can't, but you can find out. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Planning to buy or sell a home? Don't let unlicensed individuals put your investment at risk. Watch out for deals that sound too good to be true. Be suspicious if someone refuses to show you a property, won't identify potential buyers, or pressures you. Your home and money are too valuable. Before you work with a real estate professional, verify their license. Visit myfloridalicense.com to learn more.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Today at 9 a.m., the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Mathnasium to the studio. If you have school-aged children, Adana Elder will be in the studio to enlighten you on the Mathnasium method. Mathnasium has a solution for students of all skill levels. At Mathnasium, they are changing lives through math. So don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 with Mathnasium.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books.
I feel like we need a song like Shambhala. We need a little blood pressure reduction song. We really do have. It's like Days of Our Tallahassee up in here. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The U.S. and European officials are meeting in Paris today to talk about how to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. Marco Rubio will be there with special envoy Steve Witkoff, along with Ukrainian officials and others. The former Pentagon official that was in the center of the controversy over the removal of a webpage honoring baseball pioneer Jackie Robinson is resigning. Former Defense Department spokesman John Elliott turned in his resignation Wednesday. John, I know you were going to go to this. Good thing you called off the trip. Fans of Mr. Beast are seeking refunds after being disappointed in the Las Vegas experience he promoted. Apparently, they were paying $1,000 a ticket for a three-day event. Reviews were, well, not good. Mr. Beast is giving refunds.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update.
Because you wouldn't pay for it. I had to, you know, cancel, David.
You suffer so much for your art.
You're listening to